like to call to order the September 16th, 2021 Stormwater Utility Meeting. Irina, can I have, please have a roll call of the commission?
Commissioner Brown? Commissioner Mattson?
Here.
Vice Chair Parker?
Here.
Commissioner Thomas?
Here.
Chair Kufari? Commissioner Brown and Chair Kufari have asked to be excused. We do have a quorum.
All right, thank you. Let's move on. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. In order to speak during call to audience, please specify what you wish to discuss when completing the speaker cards. Staff, were there any requests to speak received from call to audience?
No, there were no requests to speak.
Then let's move on to the next item, which is turning it over to Council Member Harry Green. Do you have any comments?
Nothing new.
Nothing new. Well, then we're moving on to the next item. And the next item is to turn it over to Mr. Spiker and for you to give us your director's report.
Thank you, Vice Chair Parker, commissioners. I've got a couple of things for you, but first and foremost, Chair Kufari and his wife Grace had their second child this week.
Yay.
Yes, yes. They had a daughter, Carolina is her name, so everybody send your warm thoughts and well wishes to the Kufari family. That's exciting news. Number two, into some more important details. Stormwater Utility has submitted their ADEQ MS4 annual report that is due at the end of this month, so we got that in. Appreciate everybody taking a peek at that. Following up quickly behind that, the MS4 permit itself is expiring at the end of the month. The state is, they've got a draft proposal permit up and running. They do anticipate that going live October 1st. Some significant changes with that include enhanced stormwater outfall monitoring. Currently, we're just doing visual monitoring. They are moving toward a laboratory analysis. So we'll be collecting samples and sending those out to the lab. That will trigger a change to the Oro Valley Stormwater Management Plan currently. We've got to reflect the new monitoring plan that will be encompassed within the Stormwater Management Plan. So we'll be working on that in conjunction with the state. And then we'll be presenting that to the commission so you guys can see what new changes we're encountering and how we plan to address those. In addition to that, there has been a new rule change on the Waters of the United States designation that just came down late last week. How that impacts us here at the town, our ADEQ construction general permit and MS4 permits are tied to regulated waters, inclusive of waters of the United States. We did not significantly change our program or processes, so we don't anticipate too much change to how we're currently delivering work products here, but we will stay up to date with that and make sure those changes do get incorporated into our floodplain management plans and our stormwater management plans. Lastly, some information to share. The Oro Valley Water and Stormwater Utilities are working on a new customer billing and service portal for billing purposes coming in early 2022. More access to customer account information and updated billing software is what we're looking at providing to our customers here. Some outreach materials will be presented and provided through our communication department, so be on the lookout for those, but we anticipate that going live in early 2022. Vice Chair Parker, that is all I have for Director's Report.
Thank you very much. Let's go ahead and move on to agenda item number one, review and approval of the August 19th, 2021 meeting minutes. Does anybody have any additions or corrections that they need to make to the minutes? All right, not hearing any. Does anybody want to make a motion for approval?
I move.
All right, thank you, Mr. Mattson. Do we have a second?
I will be voted, but if you have any other words, I will put a second. I have read and reviewed.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. All right, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 All right, so we have unanimous. All right, we'll move on to the agenda item number two, discussion of meeting minutes or meetings and events. John, can you proceed with that, please?
Thank you, Vice Chair Parker. As noted in the agenda here, we've got our regular slew of meetings with Pima County Flood Control District, with the Pima Association of Governments, and our own stormwater commissions. Something of note that is not included in the calendar of events here, but is coming up at the end of October, is the State of the Town Luncheon and Fall Business Expo. It's going to be held at the El Conquistador Resort. There is some information out there on the Greater Oro Valley Chamber. Has a web page of information on that particular event. We'll try to assess some more information as that relates to our commission here or staff and present that to you. But I wanted to put that on your radars. October 28th, I believe it starts at 10 in the morning at the El Conquistador Resort. Mayor Joe Winfield will be presenting the State of the Town address at that particular event. So keep that on your calendars. Any questions or comments in regard to the posted information?
Commissioners, just for those that are new to the commission, your attendance at the State of the Town is at the stormwater table, and we welcome you to all to attend as a stormwater guest. So that's why he's trying to get you didn't he didn't let them know that we're going to be inviting them, and they are welcome to attend, and it's on us.
Yes. So again, make sure that's marked on your calendars, and we will be providing some more information to y'all on that as well. Thank you, Amy. That's all I have for that.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I have a couple questions, but it was on the informational piece, so I'll hold that until work that in later. I figure out how to work it in.
That's right. We need to make sure we're commenting at the appropriate time.
At the appropriate time, sure. Right. So let's move on to the next agenda item, which is discussion of this small 2021 monsoon that we had this year.
Thank you, Vice Chair Parker. Yes, August continued to be a fairly wet month. Not quite as bad as July's numbers were, but nonetheless, we still saw quite a bit of water hit us here in the town. I believe I had about 3.82 inches of rainfall in the month of August. That was on the back of almost 5.5 inches that we saw in July. So collectively, quite a bit of water. I think it was roughly the third wettest monsoon on record here for the region. The rain gauge over at our 680 facility has seen about almost 9.5 inches this monsoon season, with nearly 11 inches total year to date. Quite a big difference from last year. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that throughout the town. Lots of sediment, lots of weed growth, a lot of vegetation growth, a lot of insects and vector issues all over the place. Mm-hmm. But not a lot of damage, which is the real positive takeaway here. A lot of our drainage infrastructure held up very well. Our streets drained well for the most part. Access was provided through our operations group to make sure those roads were cleared and accessible for folks. We're still continuing some of the cleanup and repair efforts, but again, no major damage to note, which is great. We do have some photos to share. I want to roll through some of those here with you guys.
Mr. Spiker, may I ask a question on that? When you said no major damage,
yes,
that was to town infrastructure. What about to homeowner infrastructure? Were there any reports from any of the HOAs, or is it, did they survive well too?
The private infrastructure did get hit, particularly on our subdivisions on the east side of town. Some of the older subdivisions in Rancho Catalina, Sunny Slope, got hit pretty hard, and those are south of Hardy and east of Oracle Road, literally coming right off of the Santa Catalina Mountains.
Gotcha.
We saw quite a bit of the tributaries carrying large amounts of sediment. The nice thing was there wasn't too much erosion. There was a lot of deposition across the town. That was obviously emanating from the mountain. It just carried down the slope, got deposited in some of the streets and some people's driveways, which we have some photos here we'd like to share with you. But overall, reports of people's homes getting inundated was relatively small.
Okay.
Now, whether that's because they didn't report it to us and just absorbed it on their own or didn't know who to call, we're not quite sure, but the notifications to the stormwater utility were pretty minimal about home intrusion, but there were a few. Pools getting inundated, front yards and backyards getting inundated with runoff and debris were pretty much the crux of what we had heard about so far. But we are aware there's been a few garages that got water in them, a few carpet replacements, but no major damage that we've been made aware of.
And then if I can ask one more follow-on, specifically,
yes,
Highland Wash, how did it survive?
Very, very well.
Okay.
No reports of any flooding on Highlands Wash. We have noticed quite a bit of vegetation growth in the wash itself,
okay,
particularly downstream of Lambert Lane there at Highlands. But that has been indicative across all our washes. The ground was thirsty and the plants were as well, and man, they are growing up. It's a literal jungle out there. But we do have the Arizona Department of Corrections crews back working with our operations group. You may have seen them out and about in town. I've seen them unlocking out of the last couple of days, busily working, eradicating the weeds, removing dirt from sidewalks, etc. So again, more routine cleanup than any major repair or damage repair. But nonetheless, there's a lot of work to clean up for.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes, so we're going to roll through some of these photos here. First up, we've got just a generic picture of the CEO wash at Overton Road. We had closed this several times throughout the monsoon season. The CEO flowed for, I don't know, almost a couple of weeks straight from the end of July into early August, where this street remained closed. Again, another photo of the CEO. This is just upstream of Oracle Road. This is the Oracle Road Bridge here. You can see we still have capacity in the channel, but quite a significant volume of water trucking through here. I believe this picture was taken at the end of July, in one of the later July storm events here. But I just wanted to give a sense for how much water was moving through this particular area. As you can see, we probably had about 3 feet still of capacity here. But these are nearly 8 foot tall soil cement banks.
Mm.
So nearly half the capacity was chewed up under this particular event. Things to note in here, you don't see a ton of large debris.
Mm-mm.
There's not a lot of floating logs, not too many twigs and sticks. I don't see too much disruption of the flow indicative of large boulders making its way in here or big scour pockets. It looked relatively stable flow, which was great to see. So most of that debris still up on the mountaintop. I'm not sure how. Mount Lemmon has seen nearly 40 inches of rain this year to date. That is a significant volume of water that has not triggered any mudslides, any debris flows. We did see a little bit on the foothill side of the region. Finger Rock Wash in particular had seen some pretty big debris flows that has inundated several homes over there. Pima Canyon, though, stayed relatively clean. The top of Pima wash saw, I think it's, what do we have in here? 33 inches of rain to date. That is a significant amount of water that's really close to the Oro Valley boundaries. The Westward Look property sits adjacent to the floodplain there. No damage reported.
They did.
Very intriguing. It's
great.
It's held up spectacularly.
That's great.
So we're not sure how. The University of Arizona's got some folks up inventorying the vegetation and some of the water courses. They just aren't seeing the debris flows. It's held up very well. So we're pretty excited about that.
And before you click on, that's the north bank of the CDO there, correct?
Correct. So again, Oracle Road here, this right is the there. CDO coming at us. Catalina State Park would kind of be off to the right and behind this picture.
Is the flow consistent all the way across the wash? And the reason I'm asking is I'm looking at all the vegetation there in the middle.
Yeah.
Is Pima County, I know at one point they were looking at removing some vegetation out of the CDO. Is that anything they're considering?
They are still considering that.
Okay.
They did some work last year post-fire. They went out and did some vegetation clearing. Both ADOT, Pima County, and some Oro Valley resources were dedicated to some of the structures. So a lot of the bridges, the roadway bridges, Push, First, La Cañada, ADOT was out here at the Oracle Road Bridge. Pima County was clearing out some of the low flow channels up against the banks. To your first question, Vice Chair Parker, this was not consistent all the way across the channel.
Okay.
There's three or four braids in this particular area
that
had roughly the same volume, but there were islands out here that did not see that level of water.
So it wasn't enough to blow out any of the vegetation?
No, it was not. It was not.
Okay.
And I think a lot of that is attributed to we've only had three or four really intense monsoon rains this year. Those were coupled with big over-encompassing rainstorms, more like a winter rainstorm, where it sat cloudy, it got cold, it rained all day, but nothing really heavy. So that leads to a greater volume, but not that instant rush that can uproot trees, move boulders. So we think that's kind of helped us out with the big warm fire debris flows as well, just not seeing those real intense storms.
Makes sense. It's a great picture.
Next up, we've got a photo here. This is at the same location. So here we are at, this is actually the south bank, Vice Chair Parker. This is at the north bank at the same location. Different storm event, but you can see the multi-use path underneath Oracle Road here is expected to get wet and obviously did here. But that doesn't stop our citizens from using our facilities. Hence why it's really critical to get the operations groups out to either close these facilities down, whether they're a road, an MUP, a park, whatever. We need to be busy making sure people are safe or keeping themselves safe, but it's not going to stop everybody. So I thought I'd share a user's photo during the monsoon event here.
Go.
We did have a couple of cars that got stuck at the CDO at Overton Road. What we're showing now is a picture of one of the vehicles that remained after the folks were swift water rescued here. What had happened, the gates were not closed in time. So these people, again, were on their way to school or on their way to work and went too far into the CDO before we had a chance to close them down, and we being Pima County. I want to make sure that designation is made pretty plain.
Yeah, because you keep saying we.
I bet that truck is on the web now for sale.
It probably is, Commissioner Mattson, and I don't advise you buying it. Here's some more localized erosion. This was in a natural channel up in our Rancho Catalina neighborhood, which we just talked about a bit ago, off to the east side of town. Again, it saw some erosion here. But considering the volume, nothing earth-shattering. It stayed within its banks, even though it did erode the bank away a bit. For the most part, our drainage channels handled the water that came at them, which was great to see. Here's another picture. This is in the Sunny Slope neighborhood, which is just adjacent to the north of Rancho Catalina. What we're looking at now is somebody's driveway. The picture kind of got clipped, but the wash crosses right across their driveway and inundates them and obviously damaged their paved driveway here. This was really indicative of what we saw in the area. Numerous driveways were just inundated, numerous front yards inundated with sand and debris. Again, not unexpected, but it does lead to a hardship for some of our residents in having to clean this stuff out to get back to their homes. So we fielded lots of calls. How can we improve this area? What might we be able to do to redirect the water or control the water? And we're really hamstrung with some of this stuff. It is in the code. You cannot divert, obstruct the flow. So unless they go out and do a full-blown study and analyze this water, this is how it was designed to flow. So unfortunately, they've got to get their shovels out and dig themselves out. This is in the Rancho Catalina neighborhood. Such a large flow running through their backyard has created its own drainage way, if you will. Went right underneath their particular fence. And what that led to, this is the fence here. All of that sediment came down into this gentleman's carport. Now, it did not get into his house, didn't get into his backyard, but you can see it's left quite a mess out here that he had to scoop out. This is his driveway around the back from his carport. So all of that sediment had to be excavated and removed from this particular house. And Vice Chair Parker, this is probably an area you might be familiar with in Rancho Catalina, but we saw a lot of this.
Tell the neighbor they can come get their dirt back.
That's pretty much exactly what happened, Vice Chair Parker. And the nice thing, we actually heard many stories about folks being neighborly and sharing the heartache, but also sharing the mitigation responsibility of cleanup here.
Is that something that sandbagging would have helped or probably wouldn't?
Probably not,
no.
Council Member Green. Okay. That's really what happened. The sandbags would have potentially been deployed here to prevent the water from getting out, but it channelized this thing out.
Just made its own, yeah.
So what we've talked to this particular homeowner about is trying to water harvest in their backyard. They've got a big lot, and it's not impervious. This isn't asphalt or concrete, it's just gravel. But it got concentrated into
one area
instead of being spread out.
Was the water coming? Where was the water coming off?
This was water just generated on site at their property.
On that site.
So it was quite literally just runoff from their property that caused
on their roof or something, or their
roof or just rainfall that is collected, and this is the lowest point in their property. So it all gets funneled to here, scoured out underneath the fence, and off we go into the neighbor's yard, which he had left this particular mess here. This is something we had noticed, and we've somewhat addressed it before. This is Pomegranate Drive. Where that is north of Lambert Lane and east of La Quinada, north of the golf course here. This is a particular roadway with the wash coming across it and has left quite a bit of scour and erosion, roughly 8 feet from the edge of pavement. So it's chewing its way back up to the road. We've addressed it with dumped riprap in the past. That obviously does not seem to be working all that well. We're trying to look for some longer-term solutions with our partners at the engineering department here to come up with a fix that will hold up better. Don't see too many of these. But again, this is a little bit of an older neighborhood, and it's obviously experiencing some damage here that we need to address.
It's like Lambert Lane at Crosswash.
Exactly, Vice Chair Parker. That's exactly what's happening. It's just spilling over the hard infrastructure and eroding away the wash. We've also got a head cut coming up the wash, too. That's exacerbating this a bit. A bit of a fuzzy picture here, but I wanted to show you an example of some of our MUPs. We had one at Oracle Road. This is Naranja between La Cholla and La Quinada. It's the the north side of the street. It was designed to dip down and have the wash flow across it. This is what we're left with. Again, no real damage per se. We've got a nice concrete header out here protecting the asset, but indicative of some of the work our operations groups have to perform. Just constantly out sweeping, scraping, digging, and removing sediment here. But all in all, the asset's holding up well, so we like to see that. That is it for our monsoon report.
Okay, I have just a question or information.
Yes.
Do we do any type of retention?
System Madsen, flow? Retention itself is not allowed within the town without special
engineering stuff.
It's the town engineer has to approve it. So special circumstance, but no. In general, we don't allow retention, which is to hold back the water. Now, detention.
And then slowly let it flow out.
And that is detention, Commissioner Madsen, where you're gonna hold back the water and then slowly release it out on your terms, so to speak. We do see that quite often, particularly in our residential subdivisions. It's a way to collect all the water coming off the streets and rooftops and then slowly release it from the development.
So you wouldn't have as much impact on the... My experience from living in Cincinnati for 14, 15 years, where we had a lot of hills and gullies, that's what we had to do in our county.
Yep. And one of the reasons we don't really want to do much retainage, these washes are also our habitat corridors. So they actually need the water for some of the vegetation to grow, for some of the habitat to live on. So we don't want to necessarily starve the washes of water, but we certainly don't want to increase the volume of water coming out of our developments or creating some erosion problems. So hence why we use detention to kind of slow the water down and control it at a much better rate.
Is that part of our regulations for the subdivisions?
It is.
Okay.
The design, the implementation, the analysis are covered within the subdivision development standards, or our drainage criteria manual has guidance on how to apply those.
Mr. Spiker, a question for me. What did we see, or what did our neighbors to the north and adjacent south and east see relative to damage from the storm?
Commissioner Thomas, particularly Pima County, they had really two problem areas that they've been dealing with this monsoon season. One, as I mentioned earlier, in the Catalina Foothills area, the Finger Rock Wash, pardon me, which is, I believe that is just east of First Avenue, where you will encounter Finger Rock Wash. Large debris flows that had inundated some homes. So they've been quite busy cleaning out and assisting those folks digging out. A lot of those homes were pre-NFIP, the National Flood Insurance Program. So a lot of these homes were built before standards were really developed, hence why they're experiencing some issues and why the town isn't experiencing as much. Certainly we do have some developments that are pretty old. We walked through a few of those, but a lot of our developments and infrastructure is relatively new and held to a decent standard to protect and prevent flooding. So we like to see that. The other issue Pima County is dealing with is down in Sahuarito, which is south of town here. They got hit by a lot of storms at the airport and south of the airport that caused a lot of damage. What they attributed the flooding to was a lack of maintenance. They hadn't been inspecting some of the private infrastructure leading to some of the washes. So a few of the box culverts had been completely full or near capacity, which forces the water out of the channel and onto neighboring properties. So at our last flood control advisory committee, we had talked about the need for HOA outreach, and we've scheduled some meetings with all the jurisdictions. That's Marana, Oro Valley, the city of Tucson, Sahuarito, in trying to come up with tools and techniques to provide outreach to ensure that folks are actually providing that maintenance as required. So we're busy working on that. But those are the two areas, Commissioner Thomas, that I had heard were hit the worst. Sowrita and the Finger Rock Wash in the Foothills area.
Great. Thank you very much.
And to follow up on that, doesn't our stormwater management plan include inspecting some of the private infrastructure too?
Vice Chair Parker, it certainly does. In addition, the MS4 permit we have with the state requires the town to document and inspect private and public infrastructure. Ooh. So I think we're better off than most. We're mapping most of that. We're getting out to take a look at it, to assess conditions, and providing outreach to the HOA or their management company to, again, just ensure that they're aware and that they've got a plan to address some of these issues, whether it be erosion, sediment deposition, flooding. We're trying to stay on top of that as best we can.
John, how do they access that wisdom? How does a private homeowner know who to go to and how to go to them?
That is a great question, Council Member Green. People struggle with that. Who do I call? Am I even in Oro Valley's jurisdiction? Mm-hmm. We have some tools online that can help people assess where they are and who to call, but we're constantly doing outreach. And we being the collective region here, whether it's Pima County, the City of Tucson, Town of Oro Valley, we are constantly pushing messages to contact us. Reach out, assess your property's floodplain condition. If you have questions, we saw some driveway examples here of people getting inundated, give us a call. We're willing to come out and assess and offer our opinions and thoughts on how we might be able to help you. But realistically, Councilmember Green, we can't reach everybody. That's impossible. But we do make ourselves as available as possible. That's all I have.
That was great. Thank you.
Oh, that's me. I'm sorry. All right, let's move.
Where's Joe?
Let's move on to the next agenda item, which is item number 4, discussion of the annual stormwater utility rate and 5-year forecast for through FY 2023.
Good evening, Commissioners and Councilmember Green. I do want to introduce Michael Blackman. He's our senior budget analyst. I was excited when he said he'd come, but I didn't know he was a short timer. So this will be his first and his last meeting. But he did show interest on how we do our rate review, and so I said, come along. We're just about to start this process. So we are here again. We do this annually every year. Why? Well, because it's required. It's codified. We have to meet annually. We need to make sure that the base rate is sufficient to ensure that we can provide our operations, our maintenance, and sometimes lucky enough to get some small capital items. So we're on track. This is the time and date that we normally start this process. Some of the things, why we do this, why the program exists. Well, we fall under the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, the ADQ, and there's three specific permits that we have to abide by. The municipal separate storm sewer system, I always forget the four, so it's MS4, the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, and the construction general permit. I understand that this year we'll even have a little bit more work because there's some upcoming changes that we may bring in a future agenda item, which is always great when you get new changes to regulations and then you've got to modify what you do. The policy requirements for those permits and even through our code requires that we have a cash reserve of 15%. So we have to maintain a 15%. It's calculated off the amount of revenue that's in the expenditures. It supports all our planning, all our MS4 permits, all our permitting activities. Just for reference, when I first got this job or this position in 2013, we thought we were doing really good. We had about 1,100 assets. Well, through getting staffed up, getting a GIS person on board, a dedicated inspector, we know that we have approximately, and I will say approximately 5,500 assets that we inspect annually. So I think a couple years ago, we actually went through and said, okay, we can't do these 100% anymore. We actually do 20% inspection, but that's both private and public. But we're required to do, from basins to outlets, we're out there. We've got a dedicated stormwater inspector. She's out there every day inspecting her little heart out. It goes out there. Along with all these, we do have our, I think John mentioned, the ops crew, who's out there maintaining the streets. They're cleaning up after storms. They're doing general sweeping and just basic road safety. That's what the funding pays for. So basically, we are based off of an equivalent residential unit. All homeowners, regardless of the size of your home, your property, the impervious surface out there, every homeowner property in Oil Valley is charged $450. The ERU comes into play when we're talking about commercial. Commercial is calculated off of impervious surfaces, and we divide by 4,000 after we calculate sidewalks, concrete driveways. I was going to say pools, but most commercial, there are some hotels and stuff, HOAs that have pools. Roof areas. If the water came, I didn't realize that pools were included until I don't know how many years ago. I go, but it's water. But and then we divide by one and we multiply by 450. Just for reference, we have about 60 commercial properties out there that only get charged their equivalent to one ERU. But then we have, and everybody knows them, Ventana Medical Systems out there. That is 246 ERUs. So per month, they're spending about $1,100 a month on stormwater fees. So just to give you some kind of reference to the difference, sizes of commercial properties out there. So where are we? Well, oh, I don't have I need a pointer. But that's okay. Does it have a pointer? But revenues are relatively steady. We project these revenues really early on in the budget year. And if you notice, already in 2021, we've exceeded what we're projecting for this year. And we've already redone those projections, and we think we're going to be about $1,475,000. Our projections are not based on a 3% increase or an inflationary pack. They are actually based on actual ERUs out there. If Michael in his budget uses single family residential units and projects an increase, then we will use those and we will project an increase. But there's not a straight line. 3% we add to the revenue and we calculate. In this fiscal year, you'll see over $500,000 worth of grants. Some of that money we've already received and it will be applied to our utility fund. We did apply for a grant last year for the Lambert Lane construction. ADEMA gave us roughly $225,411. we will see those revenues this year. There's another $300,000 budget in there because of the strong support we have with Pima County. Pima County Flood Control District is a wonderful partner. They have said that they will assist us in one of the two projects. We are waiting until all the monsoon repairs, damage is taken care of, and then they have an operating budget, which they will see how much money they have. And luckily, we're one of the first they reach out to, because with the staff we have, I will pat ourselves on the back, we have shovel-ready projects, ready to go, designed, that they can reach out to us and say, can you guys give us a rationale for this? And we can say yes, and they go, here's your money.
Can I ask a question? Why is that considered a grant instead of intergovernmental if it's coming from the flood control district, since we the residents and commercial businesses pay into it?
It could call to be either.
Could it be either? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not a...
Okay. I think I put it under grant because it's under grant on mine. And then for this presentation, I used Michael's neat spreadsheet, which has more revenue sources so that they look like... So next year, if it is from Pima County, it probably should go under intergovernmental. That's a good point. So we have a nice little, extra money coming in this way for this year. The next slide is just those same assumptions I just talked about. We don't use a percentage to increase our revenues. We use whatever is in the adopted budget, proposed budget, and we match those and we multiply them by the ERUs so that there's no...
That's smart.
Yeah, so that's the match. There's two projects in here, and one of them we're assuming will get funding from Pima County, which is Sierra Wash construction project, and then conservative balances on the rest. Now, the fun part, the expenditures, again, relatively steady. We've been relatively steady on the expenditure side for quite a while. Personnel stays relatively the same. This year, you'll see a little jump because we have added an intern, a GIS intern this year to help with all our mapping requirements and all our permitting requirements. There'll be an intern from one of the universities, and we're very excited to bring them on board. Our O&M is a little bit higher just because we have some, we've increased our concern with the monsoon and that our material costs go up. The big jump you're going to see here is in the capital outlay. That's the two major projects. I think we brought to you guys sometime earlier this calendar year. It's the money for the gravel pit wash, which is about $417,000. That was our anticipated budget. And then phase one of three of the Sierra Wash, and this one's specific for Naranja. I will say that some of our projects are coming in, and unfortunately they're coming in over budget. So I do have some concerns. I'm certain when we meet in November or whatever, we'll have a cost and cross our fingers, 417, we'll get it done. If it doesn't get it done, we may need to reach out to Pima County. Gravel pit is stormwater's number one priority. We'll make sure that one gets done and how we get the funding out there. If you notice the bottom, it says the reserve is at the end is 33.6. That includes our annual cash reserve for our vehicle and equipment reserves as well. So it's the 15%, plus there's about anywhere between $300,000 worth of equipment repair, vehicle replacement in that ending fund balance. In the year 24, 25, you'll see that the capital outlay goes up again. That's a sweeper. It's time. It's going to be 25 years. It's time to replace a $280,000 sweeper.
I would ask a question on that. Is that really a reserve then, or is that a... Is that a capital withhold or a capital? Is there a different category that should be in? Because it's really not reserve if it's being held for replacing equipment, is it? Michael?
Yeah, please.
So the town for the stormwater fund, water fund, and the general fund, we do vehicle reserves. We hold back amounts each year to basically replace that asset when it's time to replace it. It's the town's own policy. There's no legal requirement to do that. Right. So in theory, in a sense of emergency or something happened, those funds could be utilized for other items,
gotcha.
Not just for the reserves,
but
they're earmarked for that, but they can't be used for other
gotcha.
Things.
So it's just an earmark. It's not pigeonholed or stuck
it's
in
not
a different
committed.
Account.
Committed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
yes.
right. That's the budget term.
That's why I have to.
Yeah. I have a question. The sweeper, is that shared with other departments?
It is shared with only Public Works, and it's so it's only within the Public Works, but we end up charging out. So most of the 50% of the sweeping we charge off to stormwater, 50% of the sweeping we charge off to...
Okay, so it's an internal...
It's an internal thing,
yeah.
And we share, for Public Works, we only use ours. There's dump trucks that Public Works will buy, that stormwater uses, so it all equals out in the wash. The loader we just bought for, I want to say, $220,000 was bought off the HERF side, but yet we use it on the stormwater side as well. And then we track the hours, and then we bill them back.
And bill it internally to the other department?
Yeah.
Okay. I just had to ask experience.
Next slide. So next slide, again, is just the assumptions. There's merit increases in there, health premiums, of course. These match what's in the budget, so so we don't put any different assumptions that are out there. Our GIS person's in here, again, very excited. Operating costs, a little bit higher in maintenance and materials. We'll see whether we guessed right. No new initiative, though. Doing what we've always done. Two projects, Gravel Pit Wash and Sierra Wash. We brought those forward a couple times that will move forward. And then we have $50,000 each of the fiscal years for those what-ifs during monsoons that maybe all of a sudden there is a culvert we need to clean. Our ops guys can't get it. We need to contract somebody out. And so we reserve about $50,000 for that. No other capital projects are projected in this five-year forecast. Next slide. So, of course, with all that, I have to make the pretty slide, to match stuff. So the fund balance, we stay above the required balance, which is what we like to see. We need to meet. You see the peak next year for those two projects, and then you see the peak for the vehicle. But other than that, it's really, really a healthy fund. The sad part of that is, next slide, as I mentioned, there's no capital projects past this year. And I know John has some on the books. We're still doing the designs. But as I mentioned, there's two other phases of a Sierra out there, both at Mandarina and Glover. Then there's we're going to do the tool analysis studies this year. We're going to do both Catalina Ridge and Mudders. That will give us information. We have $500,000 in here for Mudders construction, but could be less, could be more. We don't know until we get the study done. And we do have the money programmed this year to do that. We've also recently, I think John mentioned that we may need some repairs at Pomegranate that you just saw. So we put that far out. But none of those monies are out there or programmed into this budget. If we have some money, it appears that by 25, 26, we'll have another $250,000 that we could throw at a project. Our relationship with Pima County is strong. We have opportunities to find grant funds. So I think we're in really good shape. Next slide.
Can I just real quick on that? Mm-hmm. Amy, as I recall, my memory, it's not as good as it once was. When we increased, when the recommendation to the council to increase to 450 was, the decision was to keep it at the 450, knowing that we would not be able to accomplish a lot of larger projects, that those would have to be primarily funded out of the flood control district.
That is correct.
And that we had discussed that if the town staff decided that we wanted to go a different route, then it would come back and we would decide to make that discussion on increasing the fee at a future date.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Because now we are, John and Stormwater staff are doing a really good job at projecting out, and we didn't have specific projects
at
this
time.
That now we are getting down to specific projects, we have specific solutions, and hopefully we'll get some specific costs. So next slide. So again, the fee is sufficient for our current management practices and utilities. It doesn't seem like we need any additional funds at this time. Our commitment from Pima County is strong. We go to them with the design. We go with them, and we're literally normally tell them, you give us the money, we'll do the contract administration too. We'll be out there, we'll inspect. And it's a really great relationship. We will need additional funding if we want to do some of those other projects from either Pima County or grant funds, and we are willing to go out there and search and beg and plead for it. And as I mentioned earlier, by approximately fiscal year 27, we should have another little pocket of funds if we want to throw, or if we want to do half and half with Pima County. They love when we come to the table and say, you give us some money, we'll give you some money, and let's do this project together. So it's a great partnership. And the final slide just goes through some of the timelines. I did change it on here. Budget, we talked about the final budget in 2021. Today we're presenting the five-year forecast, which looks really positive, unlike some other funds we have. The stormwater fee, we will talk later, but we're going to do that in October, so I don't think we need to let everybody consume this. If we stay on budget in November, we'll come back and talk about, do we want to consider if he is doing, is trying to fund the five-year CIP, something this commission wants to do, or do we want to just stay, you know, where we're at and look for other funding, Pima County partnership or grant funds. And then if we choose to do a fee increase or any type of fee with modifications, we'll stay in line with the budget presentation, which would require a council memorandum in April and a tentative budget adoption in June.
Great presentation. Thank you.
Good job.
Good. Now, can I ask another question?
Yeah, Michael will answer.
Let me see how I word this. Within the operation and maintenance costs, with the revised Waters of the U.S. decision, will there be an increase number? Is part of that an increased number based upon 404 permitting? Or does the stormwater still do 404 permitting, or is it over with engineering now?
Vice Chair Parker, it does depend on the particular project. Again, utilizing our relationships with Pima County, they have got a Corps of Engineers liaison that is funded out of their sources. So we will lean into them, whether it's an engineering project, a facilities project, a parks project, or a stormwater project. We'll lean into their resources for guidance and help.
So you don't need additional funds there?
We should not. We don't anticipate that. And because we really haven't changed the way we're managing our projects, we're still in lockstep with how the previous administration was running or handling that Waters of the United States program. We don't anticipate any additional funds.
Well, just some background, because we faced this problem back when I was in Ohio, Kentucky, is that they changed. It's a regulatory change. It was not a congressional law change. So the problem, and they were cutting back and they were trying to redefine what water goes into international water, so forth. We probably don't have the same pressures or problems associated that they would have back east of the Mississippi.
Commissioner Madsen, no, we do not. There are not a lot of standing water bodies out here. There's
right.
not a lot of sensitive habitat. We may be polluting.
Wetlands and those issues.
Or disturbing. We've got a really good handle on our floodplains and where the water's going. We're keeping people already out of those. So the actual impacts to Waters of the U.S. are relatively small. The other benefit the town has is Pima County manages and owns the Cañada del Oro Wash, which is our main Waters of the U.S. here in town. There are some tributaries leading up to that. Big Wash is one of them, which Pima County owns and manages as well. So for the most part, the county would be the impacting agency as far as that goes. Hence why we're going to lean into them should we see some of that. But Commissioner Madsen, no, we do not see or experience some of the things that do back east or along some of the larger water courses.
Amy, I just wanted to add my thanks. This is a great package and valuable information, so thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All right, so let's move on to the next item on the agenda. If there's no other questions, seeing no other questions, let's move on to item 6, discussion of the Stormwater Utility Commission field trip.
All right. Vice Chair Parker, thank you, commissioners. We've zeroed in, it looks like Friday, October 29th seems to be a date that works for most folks. So we're going to try to pursue the October 29th date as a potential to hold our field trip. What we're displaying on the screen now as a part of the agenda was the 2019 field trip. They had 8 locations throughout the town that they visited. We're looking this particular year to tell the story of Sierra Wash. We recently had the La Cholla Roadway project completed from Overton to Tangerine. The Sierra Wash, also called the La Cholla Wash by some folks, crosses La Cholla, couple of different times. So the roadway project had some improvements on Sierra Wash. We recently delivered a project on Lambert Lane that crosses Sierra Wash. We are looking, as Ms. Ramsey had brought up before, doing some improvements on Sierra Wash at Naranja. And we've also uncovered it doesn't appear that the commissioners have been out to Tangerine Road to see some of those improvements, which Sierra Wash crosses there as well. So we're hoping again to tell the story of this particular wash and how it navigates through the town and touches different pieces of infrastructure or has needs that are yet to be delivered. So that's kind of the thrust of it. There's a few other locations we want to hit, but we're looking at about 7 stops. We don't want to rush through some of these. We want to make sure we've got time to discuss all of those. We'll be preparing packages with some site plans, site locations, and write-ups on what we hope to discuss. But again, the important part here is we're looking at October 29th for that particular field trip. We would all meet at the 680 facility, get kind of an overview of what we do over there, take a look at some of the equipment that Stormwater actually owns in that facility, start there, and make our way through town. Any questions or comments about that?
Should be interesting.
So are we talking about the morning from like 8-ish to noonish, or how long do we think it'll be?
Vice Chair Parker, something along those lines. We may start a little bit earlier, but considering we're pushing into later October, 8 o'clock sounds appropriate, and yeah, being done by lunchtime. We do not want to consume everybody's full day here. So roughly half a day's worth of a field trip.
Perfect. All right, any comments or questions from any of the commissioners?
Director Spiker, I should be able to attend. I'm hoping by then I will be well into my recovery from the shoulder surgery, so completely not as an attendee.
Great, thank you, Commissioner Thomas. Appreciate that. I do want to remind everybody there will be no business able to be discussed at this particular field trip. Urena and I will ensure that we're abiding by the public open meeting rules and laws, so all of us are staying out of trouble appropriately. Okay.
All right, let's move on to the next item, which is the discussion and possible action regarding the cancellation of the October 21st, 2021 regular session, Stormwater Utility Commission regular session. Let's open it up for discussion from council members. Commissioners and council member. Do we feel like we need to be canceling?
Well, my only question is what will be coming up at right. this time that would be dire that we would need to really make a decision on.
And Commissioner Mattson, really outside of the fee rate increase or decrease, which we are anticipating to present in November, we don't foresee any actionable items that would need to be delivered in October. Plus, we are anticipating having a field trip. So we would be able to see you guys next month.
Without discussing any business.
Correct.
As well as the luncheon without discussing any business.
Yes, there is also the state of the town that we will also be hopefully
right.
seeing your faces
You'll
in
be
October
at one table
as well.
For that.
Yeah, the day before.
So I don't know how much you actually want to see me.
I guess I'd ask Ms. Ramsey, from your presentation, is the meeting in November adequate to address what needs to be addressed on the fee?
Vice Chair Parker, yes. It's an appropriate timeline.
Okay. All right, so it sounds like staff is saying there's really not a burning need that we have a meeting in October.
Agreed.
Commissioner Thomas, do you have any thoughts?
I have no thoughts or input. I have everything I need to issue a verdict.
All right. So let's see. Do we need a motion for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we will cancel the October 21, 2021 meeting of the Stormwater Commission.
I'll second it.
All right. We got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Okay. So the meeting for the 21st is canceled. We will move on to the last item on the, is it the last item on the agenda? Yes, which is future agenda items. Does anybody have, I had one I wanted to ask about, that new billing software. If we could get a presentation on that. I had several questions, and that's just probably just because I helped when we started the first one, so I'm curious about how it's going and where it's going. So if we could get something on that, that'd be interesting. And I'd have questions. Lots of questions.
Not a problem, Vice Chair Parker.
Other agenda items?
If there's nothing else from Vice Chair Parker, I guess I have one. I'm not sure if it falls within stormwater or not, but with all the rains, it's just something that might be appropriate, or it's appropriate for my point of view, I guess. And that is, how does the commission or the town direct the remediation of the pest vectors that we've seen as a result of all the rains on that? Is that something within the scope of the towns, or is that purely from the county?
Commissioner Thomas, that certainly is more of a Pima County environmental quality issue. The Oro Valley Stormwater Utility has dealt with that in the past, but this is certainly more of an environmental quality issue rather than a stormwater issue. But we can investigate that a little further, Commissioner Thomas.
Thank you very much.
And we'll need to have an agenda item to make a recommendation on the fee.
Noted, Vice Chair Parker.
And I'm just sitting here brainstorming, thinking, how would we structure it to where the commissioners could have a discussion about whether we think the approach with funding CIP could potentially, may need to be changed in the future.
That was what I was going to ask.
Yeah. Can we
have a little interest in how we can establish some sort of CIP, knowing what projects, which would be the input from the engineering, potential projects in the future, and where funding would come from, and what would be the schedule, the project management schedule of those projects. 5 years from now or something like that, because if we say we're going to depend on, well, we got a deficit here and we're going to depend on a grant, we don't know if that grant will, there are grants going to be 5 years from now.
Commissioners, last time we did this, we presented a couple scenarios, and we can do that with the things. You know, if we stay status quo, you've seen it. If we add 10%, if we double it, what can we fund and how long would that funding take? So we'll come up with that with the next presentation, and we'll come up with the agenda.
Also, I'm concerned is that I would want to know what the engineering department thinks, perceives in the future we may need as projects that are not right now on the board that might occur on 26, 27 or something like that. They anticipate might be a project and a potential cost of that project, because then we might have to figure out a way of funding that project and not.
Commissioners, we can do that. We work, the roadway project engineering division is also our division. I do know that the town engineer has mentioned that he would love to have an all-weathered road town. There's a couple of areas out there that are significantly problematic and very costly. For the most part, when Jose Rodriguez, our engineering division manager, rebuilds a road like La Cholla, he took care of six of them there. He already builds in all-weather roads. So these specific projects are one that we know will not be taken care of under a possible RTA project in 2026, or something we know won't be taken care of. We can look at that, and if we have additional projects, we can definitely.
Last time, as I recall, Ms. Ramsey, we had a work study.
Yes, we did.
And we did a work study, and we got all the commissioners together to where we could have, you know, a couple hours to where we could sit down and just...
brainstorm, chit-chat.
Yeah, and I'm not good at Robert's rule, as Sherina is looking at me, shaking her head. So there, it's not as we have a little more flexibility, as I recall.
And I believe, Eureka, correct me if I'm wrong, we cannot have any motions for movement, but these study sessions, as Councilmember Green could probably allude to, offer the commissioners the opportunity to talk amongst themselves, have a quorum, if you will, where you can have discussion. So if that is something you guys are interested in, we can certainly look at doing that. But I believe,
possibly,
as Ms. Ramsey said, we can present that information in the November meeting, but it is up to your discretion.
Well, also possibly next January or something, when things are a little bit low, and then we can, and that by that time the engineering department might have, you guys might have a few things you would wish list. And in a way, it gives a heads up to the council that these might be down on the road 2 years, 3 years from now.
Sure.
Council members, and we do have, we won't have them done by then, but we do have the two studies coming forward, so we'll have more information on there. We'll have a potential cost estimate for gravel pit, and we'll see how far down in that pit we are.
Do from the timeline for next year's budget, though, but then again, it doesn't have to be next year.
It doesn't have to be
2024. It could be 23-24. Yeah. Perfect.
Commissioners, the last time we did, and we actually did do
we
a
did
rate
it
review,
for the year.
We did actually 2 years,
right.
So we understood what we were going to ask for. We understood what the projects were, and we understood. So it was actually more of a 2 year review because we did.
You're right.
We sat down and we hashed it all out. So because we're in a good place, we can meet our minimum requirements. I feel good that we can get to wherever we want to go.
And
it doesn't have to be.
The commission can start working towards a recommendation to go towards council at some point.
At some point.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that approach.
So we can.
So we actually have two future agenda items. One would be the next fiscal year's rate audit. The next would be a special study session or a series of special study sessions to analyze future long-term CIP projects.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly.
And what the how much we think the flood control district can support, and how much we think the town
future anticipated
future anticipated
yes.
would put
right
anticipated
there.
In
perfect.
There
perfect okay. Commissioner Thomas, do you have anything else?
I'm good. I've been enjoying the conversation. I'm in line with everybody's thinking. I can see any value add and what's already been said, so thank you.
All right. Well, then, with that, any other questions?
Not a question, but I'd just like to thank Michael for his hard work for all of us, for this committee as well as others, and wish you well in your new job. If they mistreat you, we'll be here, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right. Well, with that, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I guess I have to do it. I move. So move.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Thank you.